And welcome back, everyone, to Inside BU Hockey. Bernie Corbett, as always, having the opportunity to catch up with Terrier head coach Jay Pandolfo. As the Terriers get ready on the penultimate weekend of the Hockey East regular season to head up to Burlington, Vermont, place they haven't been for a while. It's been a couple of seasons, but they'll be up at Gutterson Fieldhouse with two very important games in the Hockey East race as the race winds down here this weekend. Coach, since we last talked, the Terriers have hit, well, really the first serious bump in the road for this 22-23 campaign. It's a long college hockey season. It's inevitable that you might hit a rough patch somewhere. And the Terriers 0-4 with the two games in the Beanpot and the overtime loss after a regulation loss to Merrimack. As you look at the team currently getting ready for these final two weekends, I know that this last couple of weeks, particularly last weekend, had been a series of adjustments for you, the coaching staff, and for the team to be able to gear back up. It seemed, that said, it seemed like over the second half of the game, after falling behind 2-0 last Saturday, the Terriers, as you pointed out, seemed to find their game once again.
Yeah, we there's no doubt. Like, we're, you know, we've picked the point of the season here to maybe bad timing to have a little bit of a rough stretch, and that's where we're at. So, yeah, we're going to find a way to dig ourselves out of it. You know, there's no one feeling sorry for us. So we have to find a way to find our game again. I think the Northeastern loss affected our group in some way. It seems like we just don't have as confident the group as we did. I think we had expectations that we were going to defend the Beanpot, and then to lose that game, not play our best. Don't take anything away from Northeastern. They had a plan against us. They did a good job with it. But I even thought in the third period, we started obviously pushing and had our looks. So it wasn't like we were bad in the third period of that game. I thought we actually played pretty well in the third. The first and second, yeah, we should have been better. But in the third, we pushed and, you know, we came up short. But since that point, you know, we've just really struggled as a team. And I don't know if it's, we don't lack confidence or lost confidence just from that one game alone, but there's something there. I think our guys have, you know, been squeezing the sticks a little bit. We just don't seem like we're executing in all areas of our game. And that's something that, you know, as a coaching staff that we've seen, our execution is off. So we're trying to find a way to get back to that. I thought we saw some signs of it on Saturday night against Merrimack, but still not enough. So we're trying to find it. We've had a pretty good week of practice, and again, we're like, right now we have to work our way out of it, and maybe it's good for us to get out of here, get on a road trip here up to Vermont, you know, get our game back on track.
And as far as one of the aspects of the game that would go a long way, I know that you've addressed, it's been fairly glaring point over the last four games going back to Northeastern. You've talked about simplifying the game and sometimes simplifying the game, coach, against some of the looks that you've seen, some of the 1-2-2s or 1-3-1 variations through the neutral zone, is just, as we like to say, kind of that old-time 70s hockey, if you will, of just being able to chip and chase, or just to get the puck, dump the puck, get the puck in deep behind the defense and being able to go to work. You've certainly had situations over the course of the year where you've been very successful cycling a puck down low and being able to work down low to wear down defenses over the course of the year.
Yeah, that's definitely a point of emphasis for us right now. We have to get back to that type of game. And I think, you know, if you watch us earlier in the season or even second half, I think when we're really good, number one is we break the puck out well, we transition out of D zone well before teams can really get set in their neutral zone structure or having five guys back. And then the other thing I think that we did better early on was exactly we hemmed teams in the offensive zone, and then when they did get the puck out, we transitioned right back on them. So similar type scenario where they can't get set into their neutral zone forecheck. So I think that's been an issue for us. I think we're playing a little bit slower. We're thinking rather than just playing fast, and that's something we're getting back to. But also being able to sustain offensive zone pressure. So you know, you wear teams down, and the only thing they can really do is just try to get it out, try to change. And when they're doing that, you transition them back on them again. And we've gotten away from that a little bit. Maybe it's because we haven't grinded enough down low and played below the goal line a little more, recovered pucks. We haven't been as good at it lately. And, you know, we have to find a way to get better at it. And it's something we're addressing and working on.
And a big part of that, I know from Friday to Saturday, you talked about just the, once again, the simplicity, the simplify of just being able to win some of those one-on-one. Sometimes it just comes down to those one-on-one puck battles that are going to dictate the whole flow of the game.
Yeah, no question. I think that's the other thing is the just being determined to playing winning hockey. I think that's another area we're trying to address. I thought Northeastern, even the consolation game against BC, the Merrimack game up there, for me, I just thought the other teams were maybe a little bit more committed overall than we were. And, you know, that's on me to make sure our guys are ready. And, you know, it's something we're addressing. And, you know, listen, these guys want to do well, and I don't question that they're not committed to winning. It's just we've gotten away from it a little bit. We have to get back to the things that have made us successful through this season.
There's been somewhat also not surprising when your team's going well, you look to special teams, you look to goaltending as key elements often in a streak, in a good streak. And God knows you were in a good streak. You won the last game of the first semester. You carried over the first game out of the semester, UConn to Harvard to 7-1 in January to 1-0 up at Frigid Maines for that 10-1 run. Some of the things that would seem to be coming more easily for you and more free of thought as far as your play. But as far as the power play overall, a great example was Saturday. If you looked at the sheet from the outside, you look at 2-7 and say, well, you didn't have a bad night on the power play, but you had a 3-minute advantage coming out of a 4-on-4. You had a solid 5-minute advantage. And then the two late power plays where if you cash in on one, you're likely to have come away with the 3 points. So I'm sure there's been a lot of time spent this week just being able to tweak that power play and trying to click the tumblers to get the right combination to open that safe.
Yeah, the power play didn't help us on Saturday. You know, we have to put teams away when you have when you have a 5-minute major that you have 5 minutes to score. You got to try to score at least more than one. And even if you're not scoring, sometimes it's execution and feeling good about yourself. You know, maybe a goalie stands on his head, but we weren't executing. I think that's a big part of it. It's the execution right now on our power play. It hasn't been there, and that certainly affects it. And the other thing too is like your high end skilled players. They start, you know, when you start executing and making some plays on the power play, it helps the rest of your game. You start feeling good about yourself. You build your confidence. And for us right now, I think it's gone the other way where we haven't done well in the power play. You know, guys start getting frustrated. They start second guessing. They lose a little bit of confidence. So it doesn't help your group overall. So we're definitely, you know, working at it. And it's something, you know, we're addressing this week and, you know, hopefully going up to Vermont that whether you score on every power play, it's more about the execution and you're getting your looks and you're kind of dictating what you want to do. And that's something that we have to get back to.
And you mentioned that also, just the momentum in the overall flow of the game, Coach. If your power play struggles, you can sometimes that can kind of get that power play hangover where you come back 5-on-5 and you got some of your more skilled guys or they may be lamenting or worried about they didn't catch a pass on the bumper or they didn't one-time a puck or they didn't make a particular move that they should have made. And sometimes you get that as kind of a lingering effect as opposed to the momentum that you get from a power play goal and you get in a big situation.
Yeah, there's no question about it. You know, guys start getting frustrated. Like I said, it can affect other parts of your game. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we need to, it's in all aspects of our game right now that we got to find a way to get back to what makes us a successful team. And I think our guys know what that is, but sometimes you just go through stretches where you're fighting it. And we're fighting it in all areas right now. You know, some as a team, but also some individuals. So we certainly need to find our way out of it. And, you know, for us right now, sometimes the best thing to do is just put your head down and work your way out of it. And you got to try to grow that confidence again as a group and as an individual.
You look at also with your offense overall this season, your top four defensemen with Fensori, Gallagher, Hudson, McCarthy. They've all had their moments, particularly with number 23 and number 20, with Fensori and Hudson being involved in the offense. That's something that essentially has been taken away, and I think you addressed it. It's just being able to be more decisive, more assertive, and quicker on those breakouts and those transitions where suddenly the defense are more involved.
Yeah, that's part of it. Our D this year have been, you know, clearly a big part of our offense, a big part of our offensive production. And a lot of times it started from our end,
right,
getting out fast. And that's another piece of the execution part of it. A lot of our passes now aren't tape to tape. Our structure has not been as good on the breakout. Like, on every breakout, when we go back, depending on where the puck is or which D's going back on it, our players should know where they're supposed to be. And we've gotten away from that, too. And like I said, I'll take some responsibility for it. I have to do a better job of getting these guys to get back to that structure. And, you know, it's something that, you know, we're trying to address this week, just trying to get back to focus on each part of our game and the structure in it and, you know, what's made us successful this year. And that's something we're trying to address, and hopefully our guys start buying into it again.
And sometimes, as you point out, that's as simple as positioning. You talk about structure on the breakout. It might be the forwards coming down a little bit lower on the breakout, being able to supply the opportunity for an outlet pass, etc. It all goes together. There's all these little pieces of the puzzle that go together to make the puzzle fit.
Yeah, no question. You know, you need to be good in all areas of the game to get your confidence back and feeling good about yourself. And that's something that our group has been lacking recently. And you know, the only way you can get out of it is to address certain things and, you know, start practicing them again in practice and making sure in practice you're executing, so then it carries over to the game. I thought we've had a real good good first 2 days of practice this week. We'll practice again today and tomorrow leading up to the game Friday. And, hopefully it continues to look good and our guys are executing and feeling good about themselves.
And it would seem, getting ready for this weekend at Vermont, that there was some elements, once again, down the stretch, the way that you came back. You've been a resilient team all year, down 2-0. You came back. You got 3 to claim the lead. But it seemed like there was more of a presence of the proverbial combination of pucks and bodies to the net that you can build on coming up to this weekend that you saw down the stretch last weekend.
Yeah, that's going to help us as well. Because I think, again, you start, you know, for us, listen, we haven't, you know, we were scoring at a pretty high clip for
most second of the nation
up until that Northeastern game. And, you know, our offense has gone a little bit dry, especially 5-on-5 as well. So sometimes that's when you got to get back to, hey, listen, it's my turn to go to the net. I'm going to go to the net. And, you know, hopefully we start delivering more pucks to the net. Then you start recovering pucks. Maybe a puck goes in off your shin pad, maybe you find a loose puck, a rebound around the net. But there's no question about it that we have to get hungrier around the net, especially when you're struggling to score goals. That's when, hey, you got to have a little bit more of the mentality that I'm going to get pucks there, I'm going to get bodies there. And I know it's cliche, you hear it all the time, but at the end of the day, it's true. Like, you have to find a way to get inside. And when you do that, start recovering pucks, you start getting pucks to the net, then the other plays will open up. You know, you get teams out of their defensive zone structure, then you find some of the higher end plays. You'll find seam plays, you'll find spot plays, but you have to have that initial presence around the net before you're going to get to that point.
That's right. One has to, you got to put one in place, one building block before you can put the next block in the foundation. As you look to this weekend, line combinations, you've been tweaking a little bit, Coach. Are you settling down here kind of a couple of days as we do this, a couple of days in advance of Vermont as far as tweaks or combinations to look to this weekend?
Yeah, we're going to tweak them again a little bit. I'm trying to find some combinations right now that might give us a spark. You know, right now, probably going to go back with the Scoot Brown Kaplan line. You know, I went back to him one game, went away from it again on Saturday. I'm going to try to go back to it and try to get those guys going again, because at times that line's been dominant. It hasn't been as good lately. So we're gonna look at that again. Thinking about shifting O'Brien to the wing, free him up a little bit offensively. Gonna look at different centers for him to play with, possibly Ryan Green. I might move Nick Zabine, who I think has played very well.
Yes.
Him and Peterson seem like they're going well together. They got some chemistry going, so I think I'm going to move Zabine into the middle of the ice if I'm going to move O'Brien to the wing. Playing with different kind of combinations, you know, I'll have him and Peterson together, who I'm not positive yet who I'm going to play on the left side with them. Sam Stevens, obviously, is in his regular spot. Just depends on who I play with him. Jamie Armstrong is a possibility for this weekend. So just trying to find combinations. Nothing set in stone yet for Friday, but that's what I'm looking at right now.
I was just going to ask about Armstrong. That's good news to get that Jamie was having really an outstanding season. It had progressed so nicely. Everybody, but then potentially everybody might be available to you this weekend, Coach, if Armstrong, in fact, is eligible once again.
Yeah, it looks that way. It looks that we're going to have everyone healthy. I'm not sure if Jamie will be able to play both games right off the hop or not, but I do expect to see him in one of the games. He should. He practiced yesterday. Not completely full, but today I think he should be able to practice full, so that'll we'll see how he gets through that and go from there.
And final question, I'm obligated to ask this question, but you pretty much it's so much of it's about you, about us at this point, in terms of getting ready at this stage of the season as you come to the final 2 weekends of the regular season. But thoughts on Vermont as you prepare for the Catamounts, team you haven't seen in a while?
Yeah, I haven't really dove too deep into it yet with them. I'm more focused on our team now. I think that's more important for us to find our game. Like, I don't know if it matters who we – doesn't matter who the opponent is. It's more about us getting back to our game. I think that's the most important thing right now. So, Vermont's very well coached. I know that. I know the coach there. He does a great job. Really good on their breakouts. Their structure is excellent. But like I said, I'm really, really concerned about our group more than anyone else right now.
Couple of big hockey nights by the banks of Lake Champlain this weekend, Coach. We look forward to getting back, the Terriers getting back to the gut in Vermont for the challenge of this weekend. And thanks very much for your time here this week on Inside BU Hockey, as always.
Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it, bud.
Coach Jay Pandolfo, our guest here to get us started this week on Inside BU Hockey. We'll be back.
Welcome back, everyone, to this week's episode of Inside BU Hockey. For this week's men's players segment, we are joined by senior assistant captain Case McCarthy. Case, it's great to have you on the podcast here. How's it going?
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's going great. You know, middle of a work week and looking forward to Vermont.
Yeah, definitely. Certainly happy to have you on, and I'm looking forward to having the fans get to know you a little bit. And I definitely want to talk about this season, how it's been going. But first, kind of want to ask you about, you know, your hockey origin story and how you first got into playing.
Yeah, so it's funny. The story about that, I just like to learn to skate when you're younger. And apparently I hated it and just wanted to go get ice cream. So instead, my dad and my grandpa built the backyard rink. And ever since then, couldn't get off the ice. Mom throwing peanut butter and jelly sandwiches out the window with some water, just so we had something to eat. But yeah, I think that was kind of a little funny story when I was younger that I actually didn't want to skate, but turned out to be all right, I guess.
Did you guys like build an outdoor rink in your backyard? Or?
Oh, yeah. That was for a bunch of years, every single year, before school, after school, always in the backyard. Used the snow as boards to between me and my brothers to go run around and hit each other. So super fun growing up. And great to spend some time with my brothers and just my family out in the backyard rink.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. And, you know, growing up, I know you're a Buffalo guy. Were you a big Sabres fan growing up?
Growing up, yeah. I think, I forget what year it was. It might have been 07. I was 6 or 7 years old. And I had woke up crying because you had to go to school, or I had to go to school the next day, and I had to miss the rest of game six. I think they're playing Ottawa, maybe? Some team. I remember waking up crying when I figured out the Sabres lost in the playoffs, and that was one of the more vivid memories I've had of growing up as a Sabres fan. But, you know, as you grow up, you kind of just turn into, like, a fan of hockey, like, just watching sports, trying to learn and grow from every different team, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, it sounds like you were kind of into hockey your whole life. At what point did it kind of become more than like a hobby and something you wanted to pursue seriously?
So I think at seventh grade, I had a meeting with a couple coaches in Toronto, and I ended up deciding to move up to Toronto and live with a billet family in eighth grade for the next 2 years. And that decision was kind of one of those things that talked to my family about, like, this is something I really want to do. This is what's going to help my career the best. And obviously it's a tough decision leaving home, but I think that was kind of the big moment of, like, all right, like, I'm actually going to pursue this and make a run at it.
Definitely. And, you know, before BU, you played with the NTDP, pretty loaded team. Obviously a lot of guys that have gone on to be pretty successful. Just what do you kind of take from that whole experience?
Yeah, it was cool. I mean, every single day you're playing against the best players in the world. Obviously we had Jack Hughes in that draft, Caulfield, Beecher, York, Dom, Vlasic. So we're pretty loaded, but it's a cool experience because it's not often guys get to play with everybody in their own age group and get to play those international experiences. So I'm grateful for my time there. Obviously, playing against those players, you're getting better every single day. You're learning new tricks. I remember Z danced me probably every single practice. And every single time, it's like, all right, what'd I do this time? Or this or that, the other thing. And I think over the long haul, it's really helped me develop my game to the point where it is now.
Yeah, definitely. And how cool was it to just have, you know, a couple of those guys come to BU with you and then play against a bunch of those guys in college too?
I mean, it's super cool. It's cool to have that rivalry aspect built in between guys, especially like knowing a bunch of guys who go to BC. And obviously, BCBU is biggest rivalry in college hockey. So knowing those guys kind of enhanced that rivalry, especially as freshmen, you're kind of trying to learn your way a little bit. But it's super cool having a guy like Dom being seniors together this year. We were D partners at the program, actually. So we've been playing together for quite a bit. And Vlas obviously leaving after last year. But it was just super cool having those guys around, be able to experience college with them, especially after getting all for those 2 years at the U.S. program.
Definitely. And I want to get into BU, but one more question before that. Just, you know, you being drafted by the Devils in 2019, what's that whole experience been like with them, you know, the development camps and all that, and how much are you kind of talking to them, you know, while you're in the season here?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a crazy experience, you know. You dream of getting drafted in the NHL, and I'm thankful that it happened, thankful for my family and everybody who supported me along the way. But over the last couple of years, it's been really cool. I mean, going to development camp, meeting new people, obviously some very talented players. I think one of the cooler parts, my billet brother in Toronto actually got drafted to the Devils in 2019 too. And we were roommates this past year, so we were able to catch up a little bit. Michael Vukajevic's his name. He plays in Utica right now. But just being able to get to know some of the guys, get to know the staff. But it's been a really, really cool experience to kind of grow and see how things change as you become older at these camps. But yeah, in terms of talking to them right now, I guess a little bit with their development staff, just continue trying to grow my game. But, you know, the focus right now is BU and making a run first at the hockey's regular season and then taking care of Vermont this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's great that they're kind of letting you be locked in on your time at BU. And now kind of want to switch gears to you know, BU, but first kind of ask about the recruiting process and what that was like for you and what kind of sold you on coming to BU.
Yeah, I mean, I was really young when I got recruited to BU. They're actually my first offer. I kind of jumped on it. I think David Quinn was the head coach. It was my freshman year of high school. I was living up in Toronto. Scott Young and Albie O'Connell were the forget who was the associate and who was, but they're always out making trips, talking to me. I remember, I think I played the night before in Toronto, and then we ended up, my family came up and we headed out to Boston. I just remember the first time, like, stepping on campus. I think we walked from Doubletree in Cambridge. So you walk over the BU Bridge. And, like, the second I stepped on campus, I just knew. It felt like home. I felt comfortable on campus. And then, obviously, getting to see the history of the team, history of the school, and what developmentally, but also the great people you can meet here. I kind of knew right away that it was the place I wanted to spend my 4 years.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you have Pando coming in as the head coach this year. Just what kind of impact has he had on the team? How's he helped you guys kind of take your game to another level this year?
He's been great. I mean, obviously his resume speaks for itself, both as a player and a coach. He's able to bring that experience, I think, especially with an older team, which is kind of different for BU, having, I think we have like 10 or 11 seniors. Yep. And being able to bring that experience. He won a national championship here. And then bringing on a coaching staff that has experience at every level. Kim Branvold from the Bruins. He's been great with the defensemen, especially skill skates. He's always here to help everybody out. Joe Pereira, coming from UConn, but coming back to his roots at BU where he won a national championship. So, again, more experience than obviously Doug Freeman on the bench. He was here with us last year. But, I mean, everything that those guys do for us is incredible. Developmentally, but also just being there for life lessons. Like, you got stuff going on outside of hockey, like we got to deal with school and everything like that. So just being an outlet for us and being approachable, I think, is one of the biggest things for us, because then when we get to the ice, that mutual respect is built in.
Yeah, that's awesome. And, you know, not only the coaches, but you have a really good leadership group of captains with you included in that. Just what has, I mean, I guess you have Dom kind of leading the charge there, wearing the C. What has he kind of brought to the team this year?
I mean, Dom, he's passionate. I mean, I got to know him a lot over the last couple of years. He's a competitive person. He's going to lead by example, but he also, I think over the past couple of years, he's grown his vocal leadership as well. He's really taking control of our team, and deservedly so, earned that captaincy. He's just one of those guys that you can throw him in any situation. He's going to be positive on the bench. He's going to be vocal in the locker room, making sure guys are doing the right things. And I think, too, one of the best things about Dom as a captain, it's not one guy's leading the team. He branches out. He reaches out for guys to lead. And we had a conversation about how we wanted to lead this year, and it was more leadership by community. And everybody's super open to that. And guys who our sophomores, underclassmen, freshmen have really stepped up in the leadership roles, and that's helped our job as captains and driven by Dom in order to kind of lead this team in the right direction, making sure we're doing the right things.
Absolutely, and you mentioned kind of the freshmen and sophomores that have been making an impact. An example of that would be Lane playing as your D partner the whole year. Just I've seen a lot of things he does with the puck. It's just really impressive. What's it like just playing alongside him?
You know, it's wild because I mean, he's a freshman doing this stuff, obviously having a fantastic year. I think one of the best things about Lane is he's continuing to grow and learn. College hockey's hard. I mean, obviously he's making it look easy with the numbers he's putting up this year, but he's still wanting to learn. I'm learning from him. It's been fun playing with him, obviously. You have the puck a lot of the time. You're defending very little. So it makes the game fun, but he keeps it light on the bench. He's a funny kid, and, you know, he's a little bit quieter to start, but he's really opened up, came into his own, and I'm excited to see what he's going to do coming up here in the next few weekends.
Switching gears to, you know, some more fun, like, lighter questions. You know, some of your teammates do tell me that you're a big Buffalo Bills fan, so is there a lot of back and forth between you and a lot of the Pats fans on the team?
Oh, there's a lot of banter, especially in the fall when everybody – the Bills were good this year, and the Pats weren't, so thankfully I had the upper hand, but unfortunately they weren't able to get it done. I know I was a little disappointed, and ended up hopping on the Philly bandwagon for Jack Page. He's a big Birds fan, but it's fun. There's a lot of banter. It keeps the room light. gets us all together to watch football on Sundays and kind of just hang out and be a team. But yeah, Bills are going to get it done. We're going to get it next year. Next year's the year, right? Yeah. I keep saying that. I keep telling myself.
That's it'll be fun to see. You know, still think you have the upper hand on the Pats. But then also, my roommate Aiden Cliff, your core partner, he did tell me that you're a big pregame suits guy. He did want me to ask you, kind of, do you have a favorite go to suit you like to wear before big games?
I actually just got a new one, beginning of January from State and Liberty. It's like forest green, kind of. Usually I combo. Any shoes, brown, black, gray, doesn't really matter as long as that suit's rocking. Can't wear it this weekend though. I don't wear suits with the color of the other team. So unfortunately, green's gonna be out of the picture. But a little superstition that I like to keep. But definitely that one, super comfy.
There you go. And then you know, outside of you, who would you say kind of has the best pregame fit on the team? I know Luke and Drew did something cool before the Thanksgiving game with the Step Brothers outfit, but is there maybe an underrated, you know, pregame fit? Who would you say for that?
I don't know if it's underrated. I hate giving to this guy because he knows it too. It's Jamie Armstrong. No matter what, that guy, he dresses well. I mean, I don't know what else to say. He knows it too. He rocks it. I don't know if everybody can see it, but he has some good stuff. Either him or Johnny Copeland, both of them have some pretty good style. All around, multiple different suits, different pairs of shoes, just kind of mixing and matching, looking good.
Well, that's great. And then also, you know, last year you guys had Luke Tuck mic'd up in practice. I know that was kind of a big hit. Who would be a good candidate, someone you would want to see mic'd up if you guys did that again?
I had two guys, either John Copeland or Sean Driscoll. I think those two would be pretty funny. They're always chatting. There's going to be a lot of content for you guys to put out, but I think those two, very loud, always bring the energy, bring the juice, as we call it. Always cracking jokes in practice or making fun of guys or just having fun with it, I think is the biggest thing. So I think those two would be my top two. I'd be interested to see them be mic'd up.
My last question here, you know, I know you got your last regular season home game at Aganis coming up. Against Providence after this Vermont series, and then, you know, there's a good chance you get a playoff game at home. But it's no secret the Dog Pound's really been bringing this year, the band to everyone. Just kind of as an assistant captain of this team, what's kind of been your message to all the fans that have been bringing it all year long, and you know, what they can expect here in the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, keep bringing it. They've been awesome all year, even with this little rut. I wouldn't even call it the downslope. We're gonna turn it back around this weekend, but the support that we've gotten this year has been incredible. I think the best in my 4 years, to be honest. They've been here through and through. They're making a game as hard to play in, which I love to see. And going down the stretch, we're going to need you guys more than ever. Playoff hockey's tough, especially in the Hockey East. And I think a crowd's a big part of it, especially with home games. Just keep being loud. We love it. We love the energy you guys bring. You guys energize the bench, so keep it up.
Well, Case, appreciate you coming on here on the Inside BU Hockey Podcast, and good luck up in Vermont this weekend.
Awesome. Thank you. I appreciate it.